Good morning. To those of you in the gathering as well. If you have a Bible, let's open together to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. That's on page 156 in the Bible that we provide for you. Deuteronomy, chapter 31. We've been through several sermons now through the opening books of our Old Testament. And we have followed the creation, the fall of man, the flood, and Babel, big events which we didn't have time to talk too much about. We've traced the life of Abraham, some of Isaac, not much of Jacob, a little bit of Joseph. And last week, a look at Moses and the burning bush and his commission, the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, the giving of the Ten Commandments, establishment of a tabernacle, a place of sacrifice and grace. And now we're poised at the Jordan River with 2 million Israelites about to cross over into the land which God had promised, beginning with Abraham and then repeated to Isaac and to Jacob, the promise that he would bring his people into a land. Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy continue to tell the story of God's work through his people and wandering in the wilderness. And now we're at the cusp of entering the land. And there will be a transition of leadership from Moses, who is 120 years of age, to a younger man of 90, Joshua, who is about to lead his people across the Jordan River into the land God promised. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 7. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray today that your voice will clearly speak to us truth and encouragement, guidance, conviction, mercy and grace, and the help that we need to live by faith. I pray that our hearts will be strengthened to believe in God and to trust in you with all of our heart. I pray, even as the Word of God is open to us, that the Spirit of God will be free to move about our midst and call to yourself those who have yet to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Strengthen the weak, encourage the downcast, and give to us all a glimpse of your faithfulness in the midst of the history of your work with Israel and the conquest of a land that is the fulfillment of your promise. And I pray today, our Father, that as we all come together with a variety of needs, that in your sovereignty you will come and meet us right where we are. I thank you that you are not far from those who seek after the Lord, and those who seek shall find. And so I pray that you'll awaken anew a faith in us that hungers for you and clings to your word and believes all that you have said. I pray that you'll even overcome some of our great obstacles to believing in God with all of our heart. And where it is that we have other loves, idols that have been established that take too much of our attention or our affection, I pray that you, by your grace, will be severe to break down those idols and leave us with faith in the Lord our God, who alone is God. Do your work, O Lord, and give us courage as people that we will live for you, that we will trust in you with all of our heart in the face of many obstacles and all of the things that stand between us and the will of God. Give us courage today to walk with you and to believe these things that you have said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are on the edge of the Jordan River, and a new leader by the name of Joshua, whose name means the Lord is salvation. The Old Testament name is Joshua. The New Testament name is Jesus. The Lord saves. And Joshua is the one commissioned by Moses. His commissioning is in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And he is going to be the one to lead God's people. Moses is not. Moses was afforded the opportunity to look into the land, but not to go into the land. And that was because he didn't believe all that God had said. And he didn't obey the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 20 tells some of that story. But Moses is about to die at the age of 120. And the word to Joshua is, be strong and courageous. And you can imagine that succeeding a leader of Israel by the name of Moses was no small task. To follow someone who was undoubtedly one of the greatest leaders of Israel was a tremendous challenge for Joshua. And so it is repeated to him again and again, be strong and courageous. And I want to encourage us this morning to look at this picture of Israel crossing the Jordan and taking conquest of the land, which is basically the account of the book of Joshua, 24 chapters of the nation Israel entering the land and then dispossessing the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Amalekites and all the enemies of God, and taking possession of the land which he had promised to them, as requiring courage, not only for Joshua, but for all of the people of Israel. There were many obstacles to entering and receiving the promise of God. It is with many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. It is not unlike our own journey, that we sometimes have great obstacles to overcome that require courage. And so, over the context of Joshua 1 through 24, I want to help you know this morning. That unwavering courage requires unwavering faith. In order to be a people of courage, for whatever it is in your life today that you need courage, and we could illustrate it by many ways. You perhaps need courage just to keep faith in the face of your physical situation. Maybe you have a health issue. Maybe you have economic issues. Maybe you have family crisis. Maybe you have other people in your life who are opposed to you. Maybe your job is a challenge. What do you need courage to walk in obedience to God and to do all that He's commanded? Just to live in this world as we are on this side of God's promise of eternity requires every day the courage to be obedient to the Lord. Am I right? Courage to trust in the Lord. And the basis of courage is faith. Now you're in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And I want your eye to focus on verse 7 with me. Because I want to give you four things which are the object of faith. Verse 7. Moses called Joshua and said to him, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land. And if you underline in the Bible, you might underline these next words, which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them. The object of the faith of Joshua, that is the basis of his courage, is that God promised to give this land to his people. God's promise is the first basis of faith. That God makes a promise and he keeps a promise. The Lord swore to their fathers to give them this land. And so you might write down Genesis chapter 12, where God promised that to Abraham. And then chapter 17, where he repeated that promise to Abraham. I'm going to give you a land. And then to Isaac, he repeated it. And to Jacob, he repeated it. And the promise to give to his own people a land is the foundation of where we are on the brink of crossing the Jordan River to enter the land. Now, here's the deal. It's 430 years later. And they had to wait a long time for the promise of God to come. And yet we read, the Lord is not slow concerning his promises, as some count slowness. And I want you to know that for you today in 2012, the reason you might be courageous in the face of cancer, in the face of economic woes, in the face of family and relational conflict, why can I be courageous to keep trusting the Lord today in 2012? Is because the Lord will keep his promise to you. And you can trust him. Now, we could stop right here and say, well, what are the promises of God that you can trust? Well, not that you're going to enter the promised land flowing with milk and honey, but you are going to enter eternity, and so shall you always be with the Lord. You can trust the promise of God that Jesus Christ himself made, I will rise again. And he kept that promise. And I will send the Spirit to you, and you shall receive power after the Spirit of God has come upon you, and that promise has been fulfilled. And I will come again. You believe that? That's a promise. And you say, well, how long, O Lord? Well, we don't know. But do not doubt the promise of God that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you may be here and thinking about all of the hurdles that stand between you and heaven. But I want you to know that your courage to endure those challenges is somewhat rooted in the object of your faith in God, who promises all that he has promised, and his promises will not fail. My grace will be sufficient for you. A promise. I want you to be courageous people, to live for Christ today, because you can trust the promise of God. Here it is. That's the first. The second, in verse 7, is, it begins in verse 8, the verse, very first phrase, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. Now, what is that? I think of that as God's guidance. God is going to go before all of these children of Israel as they cross the Jordan and go into the land that God has promised. And it will be the Lord who will go ahead of them. It will be the Lord who will win the victory. It will be the Lord who will prepare the way and show Joshua just what to do and how to win the battle. And it is the Lord who will guide them. So I say to you, you can trust the guidance of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Why? Because you can trust in the guidance of God. You can trust him to guide your steps. That his light will, his word will be a light to your path and a lamp unto your feet. And the mind of man will plan his own way, but the Lord will direct his steps. We learn in the New Testament that we have an anointing that we have received from God, and that in one sense we don't need anyone to teach you, but here I am. Because you have an anointing from the Spirit of God who is within you, and he teaches you about all things. And he is true, and it is not a lie. And just as he has taught you, you abide in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The Lord guides those who are his. And I want you to know today that as you face the obstacles of your life and the challenges that stand between you and the giants in the land, that the Lord will guide you as you wait on him. Unwavering courage requires unwavering faith in the guidance of God. He goes before you. You believe the Lord goes before you? And He guides your steps and He directs your path. And maybe you say, well, I don't sense the Lord guiding me. I don't sense the Lord directing me. Well, hold on. I want you to finish these four things, two more that I want to give to you that are the object of your faith, what you can trust in, that the Lord has promised and the Lord will guide you. And let's keep reading verse 8. He will be with you. And that's the God's presence, the presence of God. Now, I'll admit to you that there are times in our lives that the challenges we face lead us to think we're alone. But there is no place that you can go today outside of the reach of God. If you go to the top of the mountains, He is there. And if you make your bed in the grave, if you go into the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The presence of God with us wherever we are is the confident trust of the believer that the Lord is with me, whom shall I fear? Do you know that in the face of economic worry, the writer of Hebrews quoted this reference from God to Joshua, from the Lord to Joshua, here in Deuteronomy, or perhaps from Joshua chapter 1, which we're going to look at in a moment. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 says, let your character be free from the love of money. You say, well, why are you going to love of money in the midst of the crossing of the Jordan River into the promised land? Because the writer of Hebrews grabs onto the presence of God and an unwarranted worry about money and a love of money. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. So that you may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. In other words, the New Testament grabs a hold of this massive at times worry about economics and money and surviving. Do I have enough to make it? With this context in the Old Testament of 2 million Israelites on the brink of entering a land which God had promised to them and said, I will be with you and you can trust me, to us in 2012 said, don't worry about money. That would have been a good place to say amen. Because your giant may very well be money. And you say, how in the world am I going to conquer my retirement and make it? And the writer of Hebrews tells us, I will never forsake you. And what do you have to do? You have to trust God that He will be with me in my retirement, if my 401k and any other source of income shrivels up, what will happen? I will not forsake you. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Well, it was easier for 2 million Israelites to trust God in the face of 5 million Canaanites than it is for me to trust God with my economics. Really? Come on now. This is where it hits the road for us. That unwavering courage in the face of your future is rooted in trusting God, that He made a promise to you, that He will be with you, that He will guide your steps. And lastly, look at the last part of verse 8. He will not fail you. He will not fail. God's strength is what I see in this. He will not fail you. It will be the Lord who will fight for you. We saw that last week in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. And then if we were to go to the end of Joshua 23, Joshua called all of Israel and the elders together, and now they've conquered the land, and this is the end of Joshua's life, and he says, I'm old and advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done for all the other nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who's been fighting for you. The Lord's strength is what you can trust, that the Lord will be strong in me, and God's strength will preserve me. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though you grow weary and tired, and vigorous men stumble badly, yet, can you say it? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles and run and not get tired, and they shall walk and not become weary. And we hear Paul say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How is that? Faith. Faith. Listen, this is not a new battle. Your battle is like the battle of those who went to Jericho. Trust in the Lord. Stand by and see the salvation of our God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The object of faith is the promise of God and the presence of God and the guidance of God and the strength of God, and it's all here. Now, let's go to Joshua, and we turn over a couple pages to the right in your Bible in Joshua chapter 1, and here is this commission again in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This is the Lord to Joshua now again here in this book. Only you be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success in whatever you do. And verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. What's the source of faith? Anyone? It's the Word of God. It's the Word that God gives. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And the source that generates faith in God's people for all ages is the Word He has spoken. Different to Joshua, more complete for us, and therefore, what should our faith be? Almost stronger, more complete. We have the full revelation that God intended for us to have, and we know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and you'll be careful to do according to what's in it, and then it'll make your way prosperous. Listen, the source of faith that generates in Joshua's heart is, this is what the Lord said, and I can trust it. And this is what you can say. You meditate on it. You know it. It's in your mouth. You talk about it. You think about it day and night. And you're careful to live according to what you already know. And you live in obedience to it. And the more you live in obedience to it, the more you love it. And the more you know it and love it, the more you meditate on it. And the more you meditate on it, the more it guides your steps. And the next thing you know, you're walking in the way of God. And you're trusting Him because you found Him faithful to what you've already believed. Right? So here's Joshua saying, this is what the Lord said. We're going to take Jericho, and I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to march around the city. And they come back a day. Okay, day two. What did he say? We're going to march around the city. All right, that's what we're going to do. We march around the city. Day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. We march around the city. And then day seven, we're going to march around the city seven times. Okay, they did it. Now you have to imagine, I project myself in there and say, really, we're going to walk around the city? This is our way? This is what God said. You do it. Be obedient. Do not turn to the right or to the left. If God says it, that's what you do. And you do it, and what happens? Oops, the walls fall down. And we take the city. Why? Because it's the Lord who's fighting for you, and He is present, and He's promised. And His word is true. And if you follow His word, you will be guided in your steps. And you will know that the source of faith is what God said, and you can trust Him. And maybe you take one step today to trust Him in what you haven't been trusting Him in, and you step there, and then you live there, and you meditate on obedience to that Word, and then the next day you'll take another step, and you keep walking in obedience to the Word of God. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through Jesus Christ. And then he says, which some of you know, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's the work that's ahead of you, not crossing the Jordan, not conquering a land, but conquering the sins of your life, living for Christ in your family, living in your job, leading someone else to Christ, sharing the gospel, which may seem like a huge hurdle to you. But you stand in obedience to the Lord and you listen to the Word of God and you meditate on it, and it will correct your life, reprove your life, train your life, and lead you to do just what God wants you to do, that you'll be adequate for every good work God has for you. Am I right? Listen, this is not new stuff, but the source of having faith to be courageous in all of the things that you're facing is listening carefully to the Word of God, meditating on it. And then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. That's Psalm 1, right? The Word of God will restore your soul. If you're away from the Lord, listen to the Word of God. It'll restore your soul. It'll make simple people wise. It'll rejoice your heart, enlighten your eyes, and give you wisdom for the way you ought to live. Lucy was on an airplane a couple weeks ago traveling to Michigan. And she ended up on both legs of the journey sitting next to wonderful, believing people. And on one of her flights, she sat next to an attorney. And I'm sure there's a joke there about, did you hear the one about the attorney and the pastor's wife who sat on an airplane? But it didn't turn out that way. Lucy just said, you know, tell me a little bit about you. And here's a guy who went to CSU. And then he went to law school, Georgetown. She said, well, how did you find out, you know, what you wanted to do? And he said, I'll tell you what, I really never knew exactly what God wanted me to do. And I went to undergrad at CSU and law school at Georgetown, but nothing, this is his quote, nothing helped me learn how to think in the way that inductive Bible study and searching the Scriptures helped me learn how to think. That's an attorney. That's an attorney we need in the world today, who can think clearly about the wisdom of God. Nothing will help you think. Nothing will enlighten your eyes. Nothing will help you be restored in your soul to live as a wise person like a study of the Scriptures, and will help you have faith in God that His Word is true. You think about this nation on the brink of a massive conquest of the land. And God said to them, do not turn away from my word. Stay near my word, and then you will prosper. And so they crossed the Red Sea. Now, we don't have time to read all of what happened, but perhaps you know that when they got ready to cross the Jordan River, they crossed the Jordan River in a way that was similar to the crossing of the Red Sea. That the Levites went ahead of them with the Ark of the Covenant, and they stood in the Jordan River, and as soon as they put their feet in the river, the waters receded and were held up in a heap, and they crossed over together. And the book of Joshua then begins to unfold the conquest of the land and the taking of cities and strongholds and the division of the land to the different 12 tribes in the nation that was Israel. Now, we're talking about faith that helps us have courage. We've talked about the object of our faith, who is God and His Word, the source of faith, which is the Scriptures that we know. And I want to talk to you briefly about the practice of faith that we need today. And for that, I want you to turn to chapter 4 of Joshua and verse 19. This crossing of the Red Sea, or of the Jordan River, on the way to conquering the land, the Levites went out into the river, and then the people came up out of the Jordan, verse 19, on the 10th month, and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. And those 12 stones, you remember the story perhaps, that God told Joshua to tell one representative of each of the 12 tribes to go back into the Jordan. Go back? Yep, go back. Get a big stone, bring it out, and we're going to set them up here on the edge of the bank. And the 12 stones were set up at Gilgal. And he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord God had done at the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I want to suggest to you that one of the practices of faith for us in 2012 is that we think about this episode of building a small monument of 12 stones and that we remember regularly what the Lord has done in our past. We remember. It was for purpose that God created this little altar of 12 stones, a monument and a marker that are set up in Gilgal as the first city they camped to say, we'll set these stones here and these will always be a memorial marker for us of what God did to get us here. And I don't know what it will be in your family on how you remember, but this was the marker that as God was with Moses, so he would be with Joshua. And as he was with the children of Israel as they crossed the Red Sea, he was with the children of Israel as they crossed the Jordan, and that he would always be with them. And I think it's important for us who have very, very bad memories. What did I preach on 2 weeks ago? See? We need markers. We need to remember all the time and maybe write them down or put them on a board or take what you learned today and write it on your refrigerator or put it on a 3x5 card and take it in your car and put it around in your office on your computer or somewhere where you remember so that you will not drift away. Because it is the sad story of Israel that once they entered the land and they conquered the land and they were given their place, that it wasn't long before some of the residents of the land who were continued to live in there began to influence Israel and lead them away to other gods. And we say, how is that possible? Now, we know how it's possible. We know how quickly we forget what the Lord has reminded us or told us and taught us and what we've experienced. Secondly, the practice of faith is that we choose daily. We choose daily. For this, we're reminded now we have to run to the end of the chapter, Joshua chapter 24, and what will help us in our faith to be courageous people, to follow the Lord in all things, comes from Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. After Joshua had gathered all the tribes together, in verse 14, Joshua says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves today whom it is you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which they served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you're now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Very often that's a daily choice. Today I will serve the Lord, not money. Because you cannot serve God and money. Today I will serve the Lord, not myself. Today I will have no other God but God. And it is possible for us in 2012 to drift into affections for other things away from the Lord our God. And the practice of faith is that we get up every morning and we make this choice, today I serve the Lord. And you've got to identify what those other gods are. They aren't the gods of the Amorites. I don't have time to tell you and deal really, although I have it here, the very challenging reality of God handling the Canaanites with such judgment. I just simply commend to you to read Genesis 15, verse 16, where God promised that the sins of the Amorites and the Amalekites would go to maturity, and then God's judgment would come on all of the peoples in the promised land, the Canaanites and the Hittites and all of the Ites, that God would dispossess from the land, and he would bring judgment on them through the hand of his people. And it is a challenge that God would slay all of these people. In a sense, the question is not that God would do it, but that he let them be preserved for 430 years. And his mercy was sustained. And in his mercy, there were those among the land that he extended mercy to and grace to. And if they repented, salvation to. Among them, most notably, Rahab. And his mercy was always to those who repented. But he was severe here. And yet, his people morphed into allegiance to the gods of those whom God destroyed. And it's a warning to us that we have to choose every day who it is we're going to serve. And I pray that your faith will be bolstered to serve God and no one else. Salvation belongs to our Lord, Jesus, Joshua, the Lord will save. And he brought his people into the land, and he led them to faith, to trust in the Lord. And I pray that that's what you will do too, that the root of your faith will be deeply rooted in him. Let's pray together. Strengthen our faith, I pray, our Father, that we will trust you in all things, that we will be devoted to you and have hearts that are wholly yours and not given to any other idol, to any other thing. Your message is clear, that you are alone God and worthy of trust. And when we trust in you, courage emerges in our hearts and leaps forward in our heart to face the things of our life. And I pray that you will strengthen us with faith and embolden us with courage to live in obedience to all that you have said. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray together. Amen.